stimulating encouragement in my work. The title of my talk, as you just heard, is a question. Is the emergence of macroscopic behavior due to a quantum mechanical indeterminacy of the Einsteinian space-time structure? In the abstract, I say that according to a widely accepted view, the emergence of macroscopic behavior is related to the loss of quantum mechanical coherence. Opinions on the possible cause of this loss diverge. In the present talk, I shall try to show how a small amount of indeterminacy in the structure of space-time may lead to the emergence of macroscopic behavior. Now, the first thing I would like to tell that the basic ideas and the basic results belong not to me, but to Caro Ihasi, and these ideas and results were worked out in these years. I started to work on the subject in the late 70s and contributed in some improvements. But mainly, I will talk about the main problems in the main questions in the world. Now, in the title, you see a red question mark. This means that the question is serious. Caro Ihasi's ideas look compelling, at least to me, and the results are certainly sound. But no mathematically rigorous foundation exists because of the absence of the unified theory of quantum mechanics and general relativity. Our hope is that the unified theory will substantiate the theoretical construct of Caro Ihasi, for short, I will call it the K model, and thereby will make it also obsolete, of course, because once you will have the unified theory, you won't need this preliminary thinking. I would like also, one more thing. In 86, Girardi, Rimini, and Weber proposed another theoretical construct, the so-called GRW model, which has important similarities with and important differences from the K model. GRW were not aware of the existence of the K model when they worked out theirs. On the other hand, it was Abner who called my attention to the GRW model. The fact that I shall have no time to speak about GRW does not mean that Caro Ihasi and I do not appreciate the merits of their work, and the same thing refers to Philip Pearl, from whom we learned a lot. But I can't talk about this comparison. I have a paper where I compared the GRW model with the Caro Ihasi model, but here I can't do that, because anyhow, I will not. Here, instead of an introduction, let me read the subtitles of my talk. A compromise between quantum mechanics and general relativity. Lower bound of the indeterminacy in the length of a time interval and in the synchronization of moments of time. A tentative expression for the lower bound in the synchronization through vacuum expectation values, in parentheses, of the future unified theory of general relativity and quantum mechanics. This will be a guess. The next point will be indeterminacy in the relative phases of a quantum state. Then, the coherence cell and the cell length of a single microparticle. The coherence cell and the cell length of homogeneous spherical solid bodies. the transition from quantum or micro to classical or macro behavior. Now here comes point which I left already out from the numeration, because certainly I won't have time to elaborate on those. Taking into account the surroundings, which would be an important point, of course, then submacroscopic decay of a superposition in a gas. Here, the gambler's ruin game came in for in the Károly-Házy model when he studied this submacroscopic decay of a superposition. Then I would make a remark on superconductivity. Then comes the anomalous Brownian motion about which Philip already told a few words. I would speak about smoothing the jump, going over from the bumpy Károly-Házy rule to the smooth Girardi-Rimini-Weber rule. Philip, in fact, constructed his theory already using this smoothed way of looking at the collapse, which I prefer to call self-localization. And then I would have made a comment on the non-choice of a preferred basis, and I will really make probably a concluding remark. So now let me start, in fact, my talk. The first point is a compromise between quantum mechanics and general relativity. In quantum mechanics, the position and the momentum of bodies have indeterminacies. Since the space-time structure is determined by the energy distribution of matter, it should be so that these indeterminacies induce some indeterminacy in the structure of space-time. Now, we shall come to that in a moment. But now what I want to say, that then this means that a wave function should propagate on this more or less indeterminate space-time. And this will induce indeterminacies in the wave function, and namely in the relative phases of the wave function. Here is the indeterminacy of the relative phases in the wave function of any physical system. X here stands not for a one-dimensional coordinate, but for the n coordinate of the microparticles constituting a system. Now, if delta phi reaches the value pi or exceeds the value pi, the coherence between these two points is lost. Massive bodies are influenced more strongly than the microparticles, which are very light, because massive bodies will feel the indeterminacy of the structure of space-time stronger. No, when the phi of a massive body expands in the course of its Schrödinger time evolution, then non-overlapping incoherent domains begin to appear in the configuration space. Now here comes an assumption. You could say, who bothers? But Károly-Házy assumed that if this happens, then the wave function stochastically localizes itself to one of the domains inside which the coherence is still not lost, thereby counterbalancing the deterioration of its coherence. From that domain, C expands again as dictated by the Schrödinger equation until the deterioration of its coherence calls for a next self-localization, and so on. So here you have a little picture. I think I shouldn't explain it. It's self-explanatory. Now, a stochastic self-localization triggered by the appearance of non-overlapping incoherent domains amounts to a breakdown of the superposition principle independently of any observation. This is a non-unitary stochastic component of the time evolution of the wave function, as objective as a unitary deterministic Schrödinger evolution. Now, it turns out, and this is what we have to see, that for microsystems, which means for microparticles, and for systems composed of a moderate number of microparticles, the delta psi remains much less than pi. Incoherent domains do not develop. No self-localization is needed. But they will occur for massive bodies. So this is how, according to the proposal of Károly-Házy, quantum mechanics and general relativity seem to cooperate to preserve the coherence of the wave function of the microparticles and to prevent the excessive expansion of the wave functions of macroscopic dead bodies. By the same token, the development of large indeterminacies in the space-time structure is also prevented. This balance is reached by giving up the perfect sharpness of the structure of space-time in general relativity and the absolute validity of the superposition principle in quantum mechanics. Now let us see a few details as far as I will have time. Lower bound of the indeterminacy in the length of a time interval and in the synchronization of moments of time. Studying the relations between the indeterminacies induced by a quantum mechanical object put into an otherwise originally empty Minkowskian space-time, Károly-Házy noticed the existence of a lower bound of the indeterminacy of the Einsteinian space-time structure. The order of magnitude of this bound could be estimated and conveniently expressed in the form of a relation between the length T of capital T of the time interval and the smallest possible value delta LT of the indeterminacy of T. L stands here for lower bound. Namely, it turned out, and you have it on the blackboard, and this relation will have a star. It turned out that this delta T is by order of magnitude equal to the two-thirds power of the Planck time times the one-third power of the time, the length of the time interval you are considering. Here, this sign equal means equal up to a numerical constant of order of 1, possibly 10. It cannot be calculated at present because of the lack of the unified theory, but fortunately, it will not be important in what follows. Now, a salient point in the derivation of this formula is that quantum object induces indeterminacy not only through delta x, but through delta p, too. And delta x and delta p work against each other, as you see from the Heisenberg uncertainty relation. So you can find an optimum, but the story is longer than that, but this is a salient point. Now, let me tell that we have to make two restrictions on the values of t. First of all, and the nature of this time interval. First of all, we are in non-relativistic quantum mechanics. This means that T should be taken along a world line which corresponds to a body moving with a velocity much smaller than C. You will ask me in what reference frame. I will then answer in a frame in which the background radiation is isotropic. The second point is that T should be much larger than the Planck time, because for T which is equal or smaller, the concept of the space-time structure itself is questionable, but you should I should remind you that the appearance of TP doesn't mean that we are in a field theoretical context. We are here quantum mechanics and general relativity for non-relativistic cases. Nevertheless, the Planck time appears. But this is quantum mechanical reasoning and not field theoretical reasoning. Now, here I have some more comments on this formula. Notice, first of all, that for a given T, delta LT is an absolute lower bound. You cannot increase some other indeterminacy and then to diminish delta LT, as in the Heisenberg relation, when you have a product. Here it stands alone. And on the other hand, this delta T is very small. For instance, if T is 1 second, then delta T is just 10 to the minus 29 seconds. And still it turns out that it is large enough to harm the coherence of the fees for bodies perceived empirically and macroscopic or classic, and small enough to leave the coherence of the wave functions of microparticles nearly perfect. Now, I would like to make a remark on this relation. You see that it involves only the universal constant TP, or if you express this through other constant, then anyhow, only universal constants of nature. Now, because the parameters of the body with which you derive this relation, its mass, its velocity, dropped out from the formula. Now, it is probably reasonable to think that a space-time relation independent of any particular property of matter can be, perhaps even must be, attributed to space-time itself. We know that the expectation concerning the simplicity of ground states or vacuums has to be given up in the quantum world. Examples are the zero-point energy of the oscillator, the Dirac C, the vacuum of the electro-weak interactions, and so on. Now, the starred relation says that the compatibility of general relativity with quantum mechanics demands, as a minimum, that the structure of the empty space-time had a slight indeterminacy, therefore it cannot be exactly Minkowskian. A deeper understanding of this property probably cannot be reached without a unified theory of quantum physics and general relativity. Now, the existence of the lower bound delta LT of the indeterminacy in the length of the time intervals along the V much less than C word lines involves the existence of a lower bound delta LT synchron of the indeterminacy in the synchronization of the moments of time on two such word lines. That is not difficult to grasp. We shall consider two V equals zero word lines at a distance r from each other, first in Minkowskian space-time. Then, if a line signal which starts from W1 will come back to W1 from W2 in a time 2t. But if this 2t has an indeterminacy in its length, then of course this moment of time cannot be synchronized better than this indeterminacy, and the two can be dropped because we are making only order of magnitude estimate. So we see that the delta t synchronization as a consequence of this delta lt will be equal to what is written here, 2/3 power of the Planck time times 1/3 power of r over c, which is t. And then you can introduce better the Planck length because the formula gets nicer. So that is this formula, which is called two-star formula on the blackboard. Now, you should note that similarly to delta LT, this delta LT synchron is an attribute of the space-time structure. Therefore, it cannot be beaten by clocks, however exact. Notice also that this delta L synchron is very small. The relative lower bound delta LT synchron divided by the R over C, which is T, is going to zero with the distance growing. And already when you are at 10 meters, then it is as small as 10 to the minus 24. So the clocks are very far from this relative accuracy. Now, in the future unified theory of quantum mechanics and general relativity, the Now will come a tentative expression for delta L synchron. There is also one for delta T, but it won't be interesting in what follows, through vacuum expectation values. In the future unified theory of quantum mechanics and general relativity, these indeterminacies will presumably appear as spreads in the ground state of the spacetime. An expression for delta L synchron leading more directly to the general formula of Károly-Házy for delta phi than the original deduction in 72 can be obtained as follows. And the general formula is on the blackboard, but we shall come to it later, and I see already a misprint here. So it can be obtained as follows. Consider a T equal constant hyperplane in Minkowskian spacetime. For any pairs of points x and x prime on such a plane, the times are, of course, equal to a common T, so that the difference is equal to zero. But in a spacetime where you have an indeterminacy on the synchronization, then this Tx prime minus Tx has an indeterminacy. Now, it seems reasonable to assume that its vacuum expectation value equals to the Minkowskian zero value, and its squared spread equals to the delta Lt squared synchron. So I write the squared spread. This is zero, so it will go away, and then I get, this is equal to delta Lt squared, which is L to the fourth third, as you see there, and R is just the distance between the two points considered. So here, there is a connection between the spread and why this will be important. Because it will help us to get a formula for the indeterminacy in the relative phases. Now, how indeterminacy in the relative phases in a quantum state? In regular quantum mechanics, the time evolution of an isolated system of n microparticles is described usually by the Schrödinger wave function. And on the Minkowskian spacetime, or Galilean, if you want, the evolution is deterministic. The relative phases between any pairs of points in the configuration space are sharply determined, and psi is and remains perfectly coherent. Now, how does our two-star relation affect the relative phases? It turns out that the main influence shows up in the usually omitted rest energy phase factor, which is written out here. I will denote this the phase itself by psi t, and it is omitted because it is independent of x and of p, and therefore it drops out from all the observables. But as soon as tx prime is not equal to tx, then you see that you have to make the following change. You have to go over from phi t to phi xt, where it is equal to the phase which was shown here, except that the lth particle's coordinate is xl. So you have to put, instead of t, here xl. And then the relative phase between two points will turn out to look like this. I have to make a remark. It is not clear at all what kind of a substitution should be made for t in the usual phase factor t, which multiplies the Hamiltonian. But in the non-relativistic case, all the matrix elements, quantum mechanical matrix elements of H, are much less than the mass, less than the rest energy. Therefore, the leading contribution comes from the rest energy phase factor. And now, remembering that we put this expectation value equal to zero, we see that the expectation value of this psi is also zero. We calculate its squared spread, which will be the square of psi x prime t squared. We square this expression. You will get a double sum. And in the vacuum expectation value, you have this product. But this product can be rewritten very easily. It can be rewritten very easily as an algebraic sum of full squares. It is written here. And the expectation value of these full squares has been just shown to be equal to delta L synchron. So I put this expression in this formula, and I get a general formula for the spread squared of the relative phases of a system between two pairs of points in the configuration phase. Now, what does this formula tell us? We see that delta phi increases with the masses and with the number of the mass particles. If these are fixed, it increases with the distances between the primed and the unprimed coordinates. It increases with the distance between the two configurations in the configuration space. And these are encouraging properties from the point of view of the expected loss of coherence between so-called macroscopically distinct components of the wave function of a massive body. But here, what is macroscopic or not will come out from the model, because as soon as this gets larger than pi, the coherence is lost. And that it doesn't depend on you. It will depend on what comes out from this formula. No, we shall use this formula, first of all, for a single microparticle. And there will be two things to be introduced, the so-called coherence cell and the cell length of a single microparticle. For a single microparticle, n equals here 1. And then the value of I and L is confined to 1, 2. You see that if I and R is equal to 1, then this goes away. This goes away too. You are left with this term here, but only with indices 1. Now you suppress the index 1 for the coordinates and for the mass. And then you get the formula which is written out here. And I took the square root here. So it is lambda, the Planck length to the power 2/3, then Cm over h, and the distance between the two coordinates in two configuration in the configuration space. Now, this happens to be the inverse of the Compton wavelength of the particle, and I will denote little a, the distance between the two points, so that is the formula. You see what happens. Delta phi is zero if a is zero, and increases monotonically with the separation r. If x prime is different from x, the coherence is never perfect, but it may remain nearly perfect even for large separations. And now let us consider an example. Let us consider a spherical volume of diameter a. Because of the monotony of delta phi, it is maximal for any diametrically opposed points on the surface of the sphere. Now let us take this diameter equal to the diameter of the Earth, which is about 10 to the 9 centimeters, and let us take a neutron with its Compton wavelength equal to 10 to the minus 14. Calculate from this formula for the volume of the Earth what is the situation, and you find, putting in the results, that delta phi for the neutron is 10 to the minus fifths, even if you go to distances as large as the Earth. The message is, do not hope that the neutron interference will die out if you take a larger monocrystal. No. Those largest domains, omega c, of the configuration space in which the indeterminacy of the relative phase is less or equal to pi for any x and x prime belonging to this domain has been called coherence cells by Károly-Házy. For a single microparticle, a coherence cell is a sphere of diameter AC such that when we reach AC, then we reach pi for the indeterminacy of the relative space. From here, we can calculate the value of AC. It is equal to L over lambda squared times L. For the neutron, you put in the numbers, and you find a sphere of diameter 10 to the 24 centimeter. You compare this with the diameter of our galaxy, including the halo, and you see that the phi of a microparticle occupies only a tiny part of its coherence cell in all imaginable situations. And phi is therefore almost perfectly coherent. No self-localization is needed. This is so for any microsystem composed of a moderate number of microparticles, free or bound. AC is the cell length of the particle because the expression coherence length is already patented. So you cannot use, but it is better to call it cell length. Now, so that is for microparticles. Now, there is another case where the coherence cell can be characterized just by one parameter, by a diameter, and this is the case of homogeneous macroscopic solid bodies. Now, one would think that if n is equal to the Avogadro number, then nothing can be said about phi and about the indeterminacy of the relative phases. But this is not so. I have no time to go through the surprisingly simple mathematics. I just quote the results. Let the full mass of the body be m, its diameter 2r. I could drop the 2, but just for nicety, I keep it, because we are in order of magnitude estimates, so the 2 is not important, but it is nicer to compare a diameter with a diameter. The coherence cell turns out to be a sphere of diameter AC But no, in the center of mass coordinate subspace of the three-dimensional configuration space. The contribution to delta phi and hence to AC of the 3 × n-1 relative coordinates turn out to be negligible. And the formula for AC breaks up into 2 parts. I put it also on the blackboard because we might need it later, if we have a later. I don't know. Here is what happens. There are 2 regions. If AC, if the coherence length, if the cell length is larger than the diameter of the body, then you get back the same formula you had for a single microparticle, except that no, M is the full mass, that L is the Compton wavelength corresponding to the full mass of your body. No matter that it is, that the body is macroscopic. That is the formula you got. This formula is the same as that for a microparticle. AC depends on M, but not on R. It could depend also on the radius, but it doesn't. No, in the other region, when AC is less than the diameter of the body, you get an other formula where R appears also together with the mass of the body. And this formula is different from that for a microparticle. And besides, sorry for beside, and besides M, AC depends on R2. Now let us consider in these 2 regions a drastic case when AC is much larger than 2R. What does this mean? This means that the wave function can expand in the CM coordinate subspace over a domain much larger than the geometrical size R of the body without losing its coherence. Now large indeterminacy in the position of the CM is characteristic of macroscopic or quantum behavior. In the opposite case, this means that the wave function loses its coherence already when it expands in the CM subspace over a domain still much smaller than the size of the body, and then a self-localization counterbalances the loss of coherence. So the indeterminacy in the position of the CM remains small, and small indeterminacy in the position of the CM is characteristic of microscopic or quantum behavior. So you have this, and then you of course will tell at once that the transition between the 2 behaviors should be where EC is more or less equal to the geometrical size of the body. And now we look at that. The transition from microscopic to macroscopic behavior. It follows from the above that the transition takes place in the region where EC is equal in magnitude to 2R. It is where the indeterminacy in the position of the CM equals the geometrical size of the object. Let us estimate AC and at the same time, of course, 2R and M in the transition region, inserting into the formula on the blackboard, on one of them, because in this limit they coincide, to the simpler one, inserting at the place of L the mass, and then at the place of M, R, rho, the density of the body times the volume. For normal terrestrial densities, then rho is equal to 1 gram over 1 centimeter cube. The condition AC equals 2R gives that the transition cell length equals to the diameter of the transition region, and it is 10 to the minus 5 centimeter. And then the transition mass is about the cube of this one, so it is, but it is 10 to the minus 14 gram. This is the mass region of colloidal grains and dust particles. Now here comes a remark. There is a view that general relativity cannot be responsible for the loss of coherence, because if it were, then the transition from quantum to classical behavior should take place in the region of the Planck mass, which is about 10 to the minus 5 gram. However, a body of such a large mass is known to behave classically. It does not belong to the transition region. However, as we have seen, only the amount of the indeterminacy of the space-time structure is fixed by the Planck mass, or what is the same, by the Planck time, there on the blackboard. The degree of the loss of coherence is given by the indeterminacy of the relative phases, which depends not only on TP or NP, but also on the physical composition of the system considered, in particular on the masses of its constituents, and this leads to the transition mass 10 to the minus 15 gram, much less than the Planck mass, and this is a plausible, acceptable value. Now, if you take a still smaller mass, for a tiny grain of 10 to the minus 18 gram, then the radius will be 10 to the minus 6, and then you calculate that the cell length already goes up to 10 to the 5 kilometer. So already such a small grain of matter behaves quantum mechanically. The position of its center of mass is much more indeterminate than its size. On the contrary, if you take a ball of 1 gram and of normal density, then its radius will also be r, then you find that its cell length is only 10 to the minus 16 centimeter, of course much less than its radius, but this means that as soon as in the center of mass subspace the wave function gets twice or three times like this, a self-reduction comes in, and it keeps the center of mass localized in almost, so very tightly, almost point-like. No would come, but I have really no time, I think, perhaps in the questions, would come the influence of the surroundings and so on, but let me make the concluding remark. According to the orthodox view, in order to extract observable results from quantum mechanics, one needs at least one agent which does not obey the laws of quantum mechanics, but behaves, quotation mark, classically. However, if one abandons the concept of the sharp space-time structure, and with it the unlimited validity of the superposition principle, the division of the world into objects with purely quantum mechanical or purely classical behavior is not needed. The time evolution of any object obeys a unified dynamics, combining the deterministic Schrödinger time evolution with the stochastic self-localizations. Because of practical reason, microparticles do not undergo self-localization because their cell length is so enormous. But in principle, they could. For solid macro objects, the self-localizations occur frequently, and they would keep the localization of the CM very tight, even if the body would be completely isolated and if nobody would observe it. So thank you for your attention. I don't think I can answer this question. First of all, I am not sure which paper of Wigner are you. I can say only a very vague relation. If the geminus do not commute with each other, yes, but then certainly this means that the space-type structure cannot be determined. So here you have a proposal without having at hand the unified theory. If we had the unified theory, then we could derive all this, if this is true at all, then we could derive hopefully something like this from the unified theory. Not having this theory, you do what? You take two theories which are conflicting with each other. And you ask, what is the minimum which we should do to make them speak to each other? And that is what has been done here. And the outcome is that there is a minimum to do, and fortunately, when you apply it to the real world, it gives some sensible results. But I cannot tell more. If I would be able to tell more, I wouldn't stand here. we didn't derive, but in a paper of mine, I told that we could, for instance, for this case, we could write down an Itô-type equation, and it would work nicely and would give the same results. But the real problem is that I took two important but simple examples when the coherence cell is determined just by one parameter. If you take something, for instance, we calculated for a cylinder, then you will have two parameters which will determine the shape of the coherence cell, one corresponding to the diameter, the other to the height. But in more complicated cases, you would have a lot of ACs. And the problem is, if you calculate these ACs, I did here, which for certain cases you will be able to do, for more complicated you won't be able to do, if you calculate them, then you can, after that, change the bumpy self-reduction rule of Károly-Házy to go over to the Itô, you will have many, many parameters. But the problem is that a real theory should tell you how many ACs you have, and this I cannot do. So it is not worthwhile to write it, because the results I checked are the same. It is nicer to formulate it in the Itô language. But it is not really important, because the results are not different. And the real question I cannot answer. Yes. Please, I couldn't see. Are you thinking about superconductivity or something like this? Yeah. As far as superconductivity is concerned, the main point is that the Cooper pairs are certainly strongly decoupled from the raw material of the superconductor. Otherwise, you wouldn't have superconductivity. Now, the copper pairs are, of course, microobjects. And even they are many, but still, for them, there will be no self-reduction. On the other hand, for the bulk of the material in which they are going on, this is a massive body, and you will have the same kind of self-reduction as self-localization as you had for the 1 gram ball. So there are two things here. The superconductivity will remain quantum mechanical, no self-reduction, but the bulk of the material will wiggle a little bit, but very little, 10 to the minus 16 centimeter, and even less if the mass is larger. Oh, one more comment. You could ask me, how far could I go with the mass of the object? I was speaking of a 1 gram ball. Can I go to the moon? No, because what happens that if it, Károly has looked at that, if the radius of the body is about 10 meters, then the vibrations will be felt, and you cannot describe the situation in terms just of the center of mass subspace. So you cannot go to heavens with this formula. I should have made this remark. Yes, please. No, I don't. No, there is no point event here. Where
the criteria, the criteria
for well, no, wait. So, in the continuous collapse model, the thing is a little bit different. But in this original model, which gives the same result for these cases, but in a more bumpy way, the situation is as follows. Consider a wave function, and I cannot write in three dimensions, but which is confined, and let this be AC. No, if the wave function or the center of mass wave function, if you speak of that, is confined, occupies only a part of the coherent cell, then it will follow the Schrödinger equation. And then between points, between these points, any pair of points, the coherence will not be completely lost yet. But when it expands to approximately twice, then between these parts, you will have non-negligible domains between which the coherence will be lost. And the statement is that when such a situation occurs, that the wave function localizes itself to one of the domains where the stochastically, where the coherence is not lost. And then from here, it begins again, and it localizes itself again, and it goes like this. So it wiggles in this bumpy rule. The indeterminacy of the position of the CM wiggles between AC and 2AC. Now, in the case of Girardi-Rimi and Weber and Philip, the thing is much nicer, because instead of letting the wave function grow twice as large and then to introduce a drastic cut, they did the following, that here is AC in my language, and then as soon as the wave function becomes the AC plus an infinitesimal DAC, then there will be a slight collapse, which will, from here, will readjust the wave function to this size. So, and this is described by a stochastic differential equation. So here the deterministic Schrödinger evolution, continuous evolution, is blended with a infinitesimal stochastic evolution that is much, much nicer. And I can do it in the Károly-Házy model after having learned what they did. But the result is the same. And as just told to Philip, our true problem is that we have no first principle method to calculate the SEs in complicated cases. This we can. And another problem that we have no idea how to generalize this to relativistic cases. Also, we don't. So this is a prehistory, hopefully not quite quite wild for the unified theory, and we hope that when we shall have this theory, then it will somehow explain what we are doing. But there is no point like this. We deserved the supper. And okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I should give you back something, I guess. Okay. But let me. Yeah. I prefer to be darker. Where? Here?
In the black hole.
I don't know. Oh, I see.